That's good. Thank you very much.
Although we have specifically mentioned, we can't forget that chapter 13 comes between chapter 12 and chapter 14.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to try, in the opening expression, and we can carry it through in our minds, to try to make some application, because when it says, you know, love suffereth long, is kind, perhaps those whose gift is apt to be despised, then they must be among those who suffer long. And that's the passive attitude, and then the active attitude would be to display kindness.
Yes, and I think your true way unto you and your actions there, that necessity a link with what went before and again what followed. It's the excellent way to exercise God-given gifts.
In the general way over these verses, we have recorded seven things that love will do, and eight things that love will not do. It's good for us to remember there are negatives written against love as well as positive literature.
But even the suffering long, you see, in Cain there you have a withholding that you could give. You wouldn't know anything about it, but the captain, an Irish man, you see, he would fire pretty quickly. But love suffers long.
How would I not know it, brother? I have an Irish grandmother and an Irish wife.
and it's Cain. Returning kindness, even when you're put under pressure. Only grace can operate there. And envieth not. Envying, you see, a man with something that you would like. If I can't rejoice to see a younger man coming on with greater ability and all than I have got, if I can't rejoice to see that, I'm living on a poor level. And I think you should notice in Corinth that envy was the root cause, and it developed into strife, and I don't know whether the word division comes in there or not, but that certainly was the root cause of it.
And also following on that, the vaunting, it's a serious thing to be proud of what one might be naturally, but it's far, far more serious to be proud of what one might be spiritually in relation to gifts. And it's a terrible thing, you know, we can't underline the importance of that point enough.
Yes, and the apostle could say, I'm not meant to be called an apostle. The most and the least of all things. That wasn't mock humility. That was a man that was prepared to love, despite the fact that he was under pressure and he was brought under suspicion in Corinth, and yet his heart was going out to the Corinthians. And he was sorry he had to write this letter. He even mourned over it. He wept his tears over it. But it was love that motivated the man, and it was for the benefit of others. Yes, Neither the Lord's Supper is optional.
It's a feature of Christianity. It's an evidence of the indwelling Spirit of God within our hearts. And it's an essential fruit in the believer's life. For in John 15, the fruit in the branches manifested that union that was enjoyed with the vine. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts for the Holy Ghost that's given unto us. And it's living in the power of an ungrieved Holy Spirit. And if we are, this fruit will be manifested in the life. There's no excuse if it's not manifested in the life. And if it's not, well, all our exercises come to nothing.
And I very often say that it's not this, not going on. But notwithstanding that, I often think of the words of the Lord Jesus in the upper ministry. And you command me, I belong to you. There's not one another, as I am not you, there's not one another. And on more than one occasion, he raised that love to fight with the family. Because I think, you know, there's a very important here. It's important to be very emotional. It's incumbent. On every true child of God, the exercise is love. That's the wrong
exercise. Yes, but you notice in John's epistle where he emphasizes that, he reminds them that if we don't love our brother, well, we're not in the family. It's an essential feature of those in the family.
And would you say, Mr. Ferguson, whilst we agree with what it is said, the idea of the commandment there is not quite the commandment of the Old Testament, is it?
No.
Is he saying that the principle of a believer's life is a different principle?
Mm-hmm.
And the man who lives in communion with Christ, I take it as the importance of a life of communion, that the more I live in the presence of Christ, experimentally and practically, the more like him I should become. And that new principle then will operate in my heart and life. I think this is the secret of it. Short accounts with the Lord and so on.
No,
I am not a Lord. And
they were
manifested in love, and in love, the both of them were together.
Well, that's John's epistle.
And we are responsible for
displaying
that life, but not allowing
anything to hinder the manifestation. John demands that you see a resemblance to the Father in each child in the family. And John says, if I can't see that, well, I can't believe that you're a child in the family. For the operation of gifts. Granted not a sense where it's not puffed up, but as Mr. Dyack said, if I would be truly great, thy things keep meekly hid. I need nine, what I think and what I did. not self-exertion, and not lofty, haughty attitude is not becoming those that are a servant to their fellow believers.
Puffed up, as you know, goes back to your earlier thing.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They were puffed up when they should have mourned. Yes. And you see, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. They were drawing attention to themselves and they were puffed up with their party spirit whereas they should have mourned. Does not behave itself unseemly. And they said it would have overcome the evils of Corinth. They were drunken, associated with God's house, and they were drunken. Most unbecoming behavior. And yet, they never seemed to be humbled by their behavior. You mean, could I read, charity doth not behave itself unseemly, charity seeketh not her own, charity is not easily provoked, charity thinketh no evil.
No, it's not about that, it's rather that charity is up as well. That is preparing for others. That's the second one, that's the first one. Then, Israel and Earth, very glad to have a call.
I see these graces or features springing all from the root of love, rather than one springing from another. But it is, well, thank you. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. This would have overcome their exercise of gift. If they sought the edification of others, this would have overcome their difficulty about eating meat, if they had considered their brother's conscience for whom Christ died. And
Paul writing to the Philippians, in chapter 2, verse 5 and 4, look not every man in his own case, but also the things of Jesus Christ, and further by his family and Timothy, as no man might mind to the genuine and the character of shame, but all seek their own. Timothy wasn't to be taking it any more. So that's the brother Alan's point
he wrote, and it's nice to notice in that verse, we have some of the deepest theology of the Bible in Philippians 2. It's really exemplary. And he sees it not only in Timothy, but he sees it in Epaphroditus, and he himself is prepared to be offered up if it would enhance the service of the saints. Self-sacrifice, that it's for the furtherance or benefit of others. It was love that was motivating them. And he delighted to see the very resemblance in the saints to the person of Christ.
That's good.
Well, it beareth all things with the positive side, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Verse 6, yes, rejoice
enough.
Yes, well, isn't it not to retaliate even on the provocation? Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now, in the life of Peter, in the Gospels, we could see a man quick to retaliate. And now, he is matured, and he can give this ministry, and he finds a delight in seeing it in the person of Christ.
Why is that? Just about, would you see that in the words of the apostle regarding the elder, that he's not soon given forgotten?
Yes.
Not easy for Joffrey. The word comes from the medical term, a rigor, you know, it's something that's intense and quick, sharp, and white hot.
And this is not a kind of evil. In fact, the apostle, he says, I hear there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. He says, I'm loath to believe it. Now, when we hear a rumor and pass it on, we generally put on a commission. No, for 10% off. But the apostle said, now, even when I hear it, I'd like to take from it. He said, I'm loath to believe it. He's given me delight. You know, a wee bit of scandal, it's nice to pass it on, isn't it? But the apostle said, no, no. He doesn't take record of evil. And I think you could see that in Joseph. Mind you, those brethren of his were deserved to be put in the chains. They deserved a wee bit of retaliation. You wouldn't have blamed them. But he got angry at it. And to their amazement, he didn't retaliate.
Sorry.
Could you tell me why are there two different prepositions used in verse 6 in the translated in our conversion? Rejoices not in iniquity and rejoices in the truth.
Well, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. But have you in that?
Well, I haven't anything on it particularly, but it's the epic that's in the first one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Recovery for them.
And then it came. It gave him great joy of his life from the dead, nearly, when he's writing his second epistle. Now, we'll have to, we want to come in, brother.
Well,
we'll get to verse number 8 now. Charity never faileth. Now, I know faileth and fail comes in here a number of times, but charity will never come to an end, but while there be prophecy, it will be done away with. You don't know. The time of prophecy will cease. I think that's the thought. Whether it be tongues, we shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away with. That supernatural type of thing that's referred to in chapter 12 as knowledge. It will fulfill its day, and it will be annulled and done away with.
Could we then point out the link which we believe there is with the section in chapter 12 that I have, verses 8 and 10? Because when we look at prophecy, that would be a representative gift of the second group,
that's right.
And then the tongues would be, of course, a representative of the last group, and then knowledge a representative of the first group. And so, effectively, we're saying that all of those groups mentioned in that section will be done away with all of the other groups.
Yes, and they know it is. You brethren come in and give us help on this expression. I know it's, prophecy shall fail, and we have knowledge shall be vanished away, but it's the same word, isn't it? It's the thought of being annulled or done away with.
Yes, I thought that, certainly as our brother Wesley said, and as he indicated in his reading, that the apostle selects one gift out of each of the three groups. And in so doing, just saying that they will all come to an end, and that we'll consider when it is, I know later in a moment. But I think here there is a significance in the fact that he takes one selective gift out of each group, thus saying that representatively the whole nine of those gifts were temporary, and that, as you say, there's a great similarity between the words that he uses, "veil vanish away."
Yes, and they were laying great emphasis on tongues. And indeed, prophecy was to their edification. And they lightly gloried in their knowledge. The day will come to the apostles when you'll be able to do without that. And you'll not be able to do without love.
You pointed out that the word fire is being done away. And the very vanished is being done away. And I believe it's in the passive mood. So in other words, they're stopped by a power outside of themselves. Whereas, interestingly, in the world, those ones have come, the particular voice that is used there,
yes, and the word for done away is the same word, he destroyed him with the power of death. It's just something that's annulled and put out of action, and it's finished with.
So through you, can I ask our brother West what he sees as the significance of that?
I think that comes into your passage in verse 13 of chapter 14. And I didn't want to tread on your own ground, because the one who has the gift of tongues was the prize that he might have the ability to interpret. And he didn't have the ability to interpret, then he didn't have the tongues in the first verse. So that's the truth.
Yes, and indeed, the purpose for which it was given, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, that day would come to a close as far as God was dealing with the nation. But that will come into your portion now. We don't want to be selfish. Yes, I think as far as prophecy and knowledge is concerned, God will put an end to it. When the full revelation is given, that prophecy will be done away with, will be finished. And the knowledge, in the same sense, will be done away with. And I think it's God that will bring it to an end. There's nobody, or there's not anybody that can rise today and give a further revelation of what we have in the scriptures.
So that abrupt thing is going to be explained if it's further on the channel.
To
sealed and fill up the word of God. If you take the writings of John, which presumably were around about AD 90, there was certainly no fresh revelation concerning the church. And one wonders in that, which is, one wonders in that, whether the sign did actually continue until AD 90. You can see what I mean. So I wonder in that whether it was a completed revelation of God's fall.
I certainly thought it was a word of God. I mean, I understand that it happened. I think that Paul, in Colossians 1, is alluding to a particular matter, who knows it was a term. But I thought that it doesn't say when he was his person. So I take it that that does help us to understand that it's not the Lord's son. No, but that is his purpose. I think, if I can just say what I'm saying, is that I see a parallel in thought anyway between what we have here and James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, James speaks of the word of God as the perfect Lord's liberty. So we've got another scripture that says that which is perfect is the word of God. But in that same passage, he also tells us it's like a glass. When a man looks in it, he sees what sort of a personally, I know the two words are a bit different from that, but it's still the same principle that you look in and you see what sort of person you are. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, those words are different from that. Here we've got the same two figures here, that he speaks of the glass, the mirror, and he speaks of that which is perfect. And that's the wonderful reason why we're saying today. But we've been suggesting it's the scripture, because that which is going to come.
In all probability, it's truth experience what we have in Ephesians chapter 4, that the gifts are given, and that we no longer talk to and fro, and till we all come to the full knowledge of sin. And it's in other words, as Mr. Hoof pointed out, it was from one state of perfection to another. And that the gap between the two in Paul's mind was not as great as we were meant. That is, from the complete revelation to the complete knowledge of it was not a big long stretch in his mind.
You know, it's in the false confession of revelation. We now have the capacity
to keep in mind too that in the Ephesian passage, it's the common gift that's emphasized there.
Yes.
But here we're through.
Well, there's a point reached there on top.
Yes. That prophecies will be done away, knowledge will be done away, and then he develops where we know in part and we prophesy in part. That is, from partial to completeness. And then from infancy to maturity. And if you want to link the state of the child with the tongue, the understood with the knowledge, and thought with the prophecy, that's all right. But for the time of the child, I needed these matters. Childish thing. But then when I became mature, well, I no longer needed the childish thing. So it's from partial to perfection or maturity, it's infancy to maturity and growth, and now it's obscurity to clear vision.
And in relation to our brother Alan Thomas Point, I do feel that this apostle is arguing the matter of the separation of the year. And since you have then made it a very clear gift, the statement is that the three things that are categorized and stated to be to have a temporary nature. Now then he goes on to say, for, so that links to the previous verse, you know, in part of the prophecy, but when that which is prophesied is come, so that things are in complete opposition to the rich. Now, when you come to verse 11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. There's an implication to get his tongue. Then he says, I understood as a child, there's knowledge. So I'm thinking of the three that are in verse 8. Then he says, I thought as a child. That could well be the reason that he likes the prophecy. So, I see the fingers unfolding, and I think as Mr. McChain implied there, that it does not mean that we will know everything of the divine revelation. But he's saying that the facility and the ability is to know all the truth of God that God wants us to know in the present day until the end of the dispensation.
It would be pointless, you know, telling us that that gift will cease to operate when the Lord comes, or when you have the eternal state, if it does not be impertinent. Yeah. And it wouldn't be pertinent to pick out certain of these.
And I think that it's not the idea of knowing perfectly and everything is coming. You don't know everything perfectly as God wants to be then. And sort of the apostle knowing perfectly that revelation is coming to him. Just as he would know perfectly.
That's it. I would say a danger now in excluding the other writers, because prophecy or bringing a communication from God to man, as John got in the Revelation, that would be prophecy in its truest sense. And the strong word that you shall be done away or destroyed or annulled, showing that the time will come when there will be no further communication through prophecy, and there will be no need for that knowledge in that spectacular way. But remember that the day will never come. In fact, we'll carry it through to the eternal state, this love begotten within our hearts. I thought that was the main place in the passage, and that's why I would embrace all of divine revelation.
And can I just say before you leave it, that certainly, that sort of thing weighs with me personally, because I'm not convinced that the only prophecies that would have been communicated would all have to do with the truth of the church, which is his body. Whereas I think that it was a day of incomplete revelation, and that to me is the main theme of going through the verses.
I wonder when the Corinthians read these words for the very first time, that they were speaking of these words regarding the completest canon of Scripture. Or had they ever had a conference of these words, had Paul ever interpreted the Scripture through these words in his case? I have a knowledge of the number. And the love of Revelation in the same, it was a full revelation. So everyone has had it. It wasn't a choice of Paul having it, and some others not. We all had it. We all had an equal share of this revelation. Let us say all the people know. So I have a much more to say. We all have the Bible, and I have it. But we don't all have equal knowledge. And what would be my suggestion? For example, you've got a platform, others sitting there, have no knowledge to show some of the lectures. So we don't all have the same revelation. And I feel that it's going to also become our story, chapter of the man in the kingdom after 4. Alan, not to quote him because it's not easy to my book, but nevertheless, Alan has mentioned the very few things I do, and some of us both have this same revolution. That would be my difficulty. And the list of the letters sounds of what's so possible to this city to consider the revolution of Scripture. And Mr. Jackson, I heard Stephen of the State of the City.
I also heard
him,
but
I was. Well, I was prepared to listen to the City of the City. But Mr. Rogers of the Moment, there are many young brothers today who knew that some of those more than the Apostle Paul did in his days with Robin today for two. I stood at my difficulties and knew I'm trying to understand the community.
See, Brother Lackey and Brother Rogers are over the difficulty. But as Mr. McShane said here, it's being able to apprehend the revelation of God. That the revelation of God is complete. And I thought that these are the temporal gifts that's mentioned here, and will be done away with. But the permanent gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians will be essential until the end of this present dispensation. And the risen head will furnish with those gifts for the maintenance and testimony. But I'm very convinced in my own mind that this is the completion of revelation that we have here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who do you discuss there, brother? All I can say is that I keep those laws for our country. What about the pagan? Lord will obey the country, but the eternity of the book also obey. And that they do obey eternally. In what sense is love? Is it?
I thought they would obey. Will ever have her confidence in God, and will ever have her expectation. And we were in the pit, we talked about hope that is seen as not hope. But nevertheless, will not arise in heaven until the last it. Seen the holy land and nothing there to see. I believe it will be the enjoyment of it forever.
And there's one point you haven't answered, and that is why it's so debated. My answer to that is that you can say God is love, you can't say God is faith, and you can't say God is hope.
You say not
believe,
you say not hope.
You couldn't
understand it, have you? Well, thank you very much, you've been very long suffering and dying.
Must have loved
him. Father, you just call my presence now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we thank you for him. We're glad that we're in the heights of him. In time to us, the wisdom of the Spirit of God, and we will hear it for all of you. And our Father, we pray in the Lord's name in the upper room. Silence the railway with your light of thanks, if you have loved one to another. So thank you for all of us, for helping man serve as a public spirit in his presence, solemn and present scripture. And we ask you that I will give you as much grace that we will exhibit you this beautiful disposition of love to one another. Oh, Father, we thank you now for the good. And for those who have been there, save all Father's sacrifice to do the background. And we will do this, much of what happens here in this room. So we ask you to bless them in this as we give you our time for the truth proof in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.